Welcome to Bridge the Gap with host Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by our supporting partners, NHI, TSO Life, NRC Health, Erdman, Sherpa, TIS, and R-Care. Find out more about this podcast at btgvoice.com.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast, the senior living podcast with Josh and Lucas. Josh, today we are in Nashville, Tennessee at NHI's Music City Symposium, and we've got two awesome guests today. Right now on the show, I'd like to welcome Andy Eby and Alan Fairbanks of Bickford Senior Living. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So there's a lot going on. Everybody that's listening right now can hear there's a lot of background noise. This is a very exciting event. We just got off a very rousing speech from the one and only coach, Lou Holtz. Everybody gave him a standing ovation. And so the energy is really high. What do you think is the most important reason why you gentlemen are here today?
For us, I think it's because we've had a great relationship with NHI for going back 10 plus years. So great bunch of guys. So it's a good way to continue to cement that relationship with them and also connect with other operators. I mean, I think this is about just connection and being in community with other operators and sharing best practices. And at the end of the day, we all want to get better at what we're doing, and it's what better opportunity than to talk to some of the best operators and best folks out there.
Absolutely, and you were on a panel discussion earlier today. Josh and I have talked about this many times. I'm constantly fascinated as a partner to the industry, the collaboration that takes place between quote-unquote competitors is it's unprecedented in any other industry. And you really showed that today on the panel. What, I mean, give us a synopsis of your takeaways from that.
Yeah, I'd say there is a lot of collaboration in this industry, and partly because it's a tough business to be in, and the challenge doesn't lie so much in the ideas of things as it lies in the execution of these wonderful ideas. And so we really have no issue sharing our competitive advantage, because at the end of the day, can you get it done? And you know, 63 communities across the country, that's a whole different story.
So there's several things I specifically want to dive into that you guys specifically touched on. But before that, I always find it interesting. So we're friends of NHI. We get to go to some of their dinners and hang out with guys like you. But you guys have had a really steep growth trajectory. Talk us through kind of the history of Bickford. What started you guys? It's a really cool story that if our audience hasn't heard that, they need to hear your story and your why and how NHI has been kind of part of helping you grow.
Sure, absolutely. A little bit about Bickford Senior Living is we got started nearly over 30 years ago because of the needs of my grandmother, Mary Bickford. Mary Bickford was my grandmother. She was a long time ago starting to show signs of Alzheimer's dementia before we as a family, or really a lot of the industry, knew that much about dementia. And so we built our first community for Mary Bickford, and she was our first resident. It was a family business from the start. I mowed the first lawn. I got paid $40 to mow the first lawn. And then I went back to school, and my dad paid someone $110 to mow that same lawn. So welcome to the family
gotta
business.
Love that.
Yeah, gotta love that. But, you know, everything we've done from the beginning was created for someone that we love and someone that meant something to us. And so from the way our communities are designed to the policies and procedures and how we operate our communities, we're designed for what we would do for our own loved one. So as we've grown, we've tried to find partnerships, financial partnerships that support us in our purpose. And so NHI has been a good partner for us that over time, you know, it seems like we have a lot of communities, 63, and people are like, oh, that's pretty big. Well, we started 30 years ago. So when you kind of average that out, that doesn't seem like too much. You know, for us as a family, we don't care about how big we get. We don't want to be the biggest. We're not run by a public institution. We're not trying to please financial stakeholders and different things like that. you know, at the end of the day, we want to care and serve and love people the way we would if it was our own loved one living in there, and continue to operate that today.
That's a super cool story. Well, that kind of rolls into, at the beginning, kind of when you were talking about, you know, what you guys do, and we were talking about labor challenges and things like that. You guys showed a video, and I think it was called the Caregiver Manifesto. Is that right? So it was a moving video. Tell us a little bit about, you know, why you produced that, what it's all about.
Yeah, you know, as our organization continues to grow, the challenge is how do you embed your purpose, your values, the heart of who you are, into every single person that interacts with us. And so you have to be very strategic and very intentional about that. And that's something that we're very passionate about, is not, you know, this is not an investment for us. We're not doing this for a certain lifestyle. We're doing it because we believe that Bickford Senior Living best allows us the opportunity to live our purpose here, and is the platform in which we engage with that. And so we created a manifesto to better relate and connect with our caregivers, which is a majority of our workforce. So we created a caregivers manifesto that really speak to who are we at our core and why do we do what we do. And so as the process of going about building that and understanding what that message is, we in tune ourselves began to identify ourselves as leaders, as caregivers. Because at the end of the day, we're all here made to love. And that's just not the caregivers who are in branches serving residents. That's you guys running this podcast. That's just us as leaders in this industry. We're here to love, and we're at our best when we're extending that love and the service of others. And we wanted a message that communicated that very clearly, very authentically, and very boldly to the world of who we are.
Yeah. Well, so NHI, Cameron, who was leading the panel, he kind of framed up before your panel started, you know, how many in the room are basically one of your top five problems or things that keep you up at night is dealing with labor challenges. Everybody stayed standing, whittled it down to like top two. Everybody's still standing. And I thought it was really interesting. You guys are really focused on your story, your why, your culture, the caregiver manifesto. But what I thought was really interesting is how you're building incentive plans, even around how you reward to that. So I believe you called it like the 49-51. Can you kind of explain what that is, what it means, and the why behind that?
Yeah, I mean, for us, that kind of came out of the idea of this isn't just about teaching someone how to take care of someone. I mean, teaching the skills part of this, anyone can really go out and do that. What we really want, that's really at the end of the day the easy part. The hard part is finding those individuals that share and have those same types of values. So finding individuals that are optimistically warm, that are curious, that have a lot of grit, determination. So we've created a platform for us to be able to go out and try to identify those individuals through a list of behavior-based interview questions that we provide all of our leaders within our branches, so they can try to identify not just those individuals that have that resume or that skill set, but who are those people that really share our heart and our passion for what we do, those 51 percenters. So we provide them that information so we can make sure that we're doing everything we possibly can to get those types of individuals in our organization.
That's so cool. And you guys actually build your, I guess you would call it your employee evaluations and your raises around that. Is that correct?
Absolutely. They're built into not just the skill side, they're built into the value side, and it's all very purposeful and intentional. And those conversations are taking place, you know, multiple times throughout the year, not just at that annual performance evaluation. They're taking place 2 to 3 times throughout the year as well to make sure that they know and have an opportunity to grow and become better, not just caregivers, better people at the end of the day.
I would add to that, you know, not only do we put core values and put them up on a wall and put them up on our website, at the end of the day, our annual raises are determined based upon that balanced approach of the performance that you have in your job. But what we feel is just a little bit more important than that is the way in which you do your job through exhibiting our values. And so 51% of our annual raises, so when you think about an organization that has nearly 3,000 employees, and the annual increase that goes with that. 51% of that annual increase is based upon our values. That's a big number that we every year put down on this is how important our values are. But essentially, we always say we're putting our money where our mouth is with that.
Yeah, so that's huge. And so talk to us a little bit about, we talked about two different things. So I want to tie in what you're doing and kind of, I don't know how far back it was that you really started these specific initiatives, but have you guys seen in your data and as far as your employee turnover, your resident satisfactions, have you seen some improvement in your bottom line or results that you can tie back to this, or is it still too early to tell?
You know, I'd say there's so much that goes into in turnover. It is not a simple formula in this business. Ultimately, people join companies, leave managers. We very much believe in that. And so, you know, our approach to retention, recruitment, annual conversations is all part of a larger picture of a relationship between a manager and the individual who works there. And so we aggressively pursue multiple strategies, probably the largest being of leadership development of our leaders and of our managers. This industry has so many responsibilities and so many services that we provide residents that there's tons of skill-based training. You know, how to effectively run dining service for the residents every day, how to do payroll, how to do billing, how to do marketing and things like that. But what gets lacked, we believe, in this industry is the opportunity to grow leaders, grow better human beings that are better able to relate, build genuine, authentic relationships that ultimately lead to care and services provided for our residents.
So there was some talk also, and I'm not sure if it was you that brought it up, and I'll probably butcher the way that you guys said it, but we were talking about how difficult and how aggressive you have to be with creating an experience for the potential recruit, that potential employee, the environment that they're coming into. Just the same kind of emphasis as we put on the tour for the resident or the family member. So talk us through a little bit your approach and your philosophy on that, what you guys are doing to kind of create that experience.
Well, I think one of the main things that we're doing right now is we're trying to create the same sort of purpose and intention behind that we have with the marketing aspect of the tour process and the residents and potential residents and families when they come in. We're putting the same metrics behind that as it relates to our hiring. So how many applications are we getting? What's the applicant flow? How many interviews have we done? How many offers have we made? You know, how many acceptance do we have? What's the training component look like for all these individuals? So it really is about just making sure that you have a purpose and intention behind everything that you do to make sure that you're following through on those expectations. As Andy indicated, it's really about execution at the end of the day and making sure you're executing on those systems that you have in place. So what we're in the process of putting in place is those sorts of metrics and those sorts of expectations when we have applicant flow start to happen within our system. So making sure you're welcoming the potential applicant, you're warm, you're giving them an opportunity and a place to do the application, and having the tour process set up for them as well, the shadowing aspect, the offer letter, just making sure that everything is intentional about the way our approach is going to be with that individual.
I love that. So practically speaking, you know, you guys, I know you think maybe you're not that large, but that's a lot of communities, that's a lot of potential applicants. What does an applicant tracking system look like for you guys? I mean, what are some systems you've put into place to kind of keep track of this process, to hold hiring managers accountable, and to really hire towards your culture, because you guys are really focused on the culture?
I would say that the same process that we would manage our leads is the same process in which we're getting to ready to manage our applicants. And it is something that is a newer initiative for the organization. I think, you know, if you look like historically at this industry, when my father and mother first started this business, they didn't do any advertising, sales training, all this stuff, man. They built basically the first assisted living in the state of Kansas. My dad was helping write the regulations for the state of Kansas, because the industry didn't exist, they didn't have to do any of that stuff. As the market has matured, more people have entered there, you have to be a lot more strategic and intentional about what you're doing. And I think over the last several years, the employment side of the business has been significantly becoming greater and greater and greater challenge. And I think a lot of our industry has been a little bit slow to respond to that. You know, we've kind of, I think at industry-wide, just kind of post an ad and pray that you get applicants come, and then when they come, you know, you'll call them when you get to it. You know, the game now is different. There's more at stake, and it's a higher calling for more what we would call conscious leadership, to where every moment matters that you have as a leader. You can't take for granted a lead that comes in. You can't take for granted an applicant that comes in. You can't take for granted an employment complaint, because you're going to have a hold. You know, when it gets more competitive, more challenging, your rise of conscious leadership has to grow.
So cool. So we'll start rounding out the conversation here a little bit, and because we know you guys have to go. You've already finished a glass of wine. We've got to refill that wine.
That's right.
But talk to us a little bit about the family reunion. I thought that was kind of cool. It's kind of a cool twist on what could be a very potentially not looked forward to time of the year in most companies, but for you guys, it's a family reunion. So tell us about your culture there.
Well, if you guys want to experience it next time, firsthand, you guys are invited. You can
yes.
come experience it.
All right.
And you can do one of these podcasts and interview our people.
That's awesome.
I promise you, you've never experienced a corporate meeting like this. You will, the two of you guys, you'll cry, you'll be emotional, you'll be sharing intimate details about your life to a complete stranger.
Wow.
And we get people.
I feel vulnerable.
Very vulnerable. It's a typical Tuesday at a podcast internal meeting. Come on.
But when you operate a community, a business of an appropriate scale, and you call yourself a family business, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. That for some companies, that may be empty words. For us, it is something that we are very intentional about, creating that connection and that feeling. Because what is that sense of family? It's connection and feeling. And so that family reunion is our opportunity to create that for our people. Over the course of time, it's grown from skill-based training to really this, it's really a spiritual and leadership conference. And it's something pretty magical and we're proud about, and is a core element of our culture.
That's so cool. So now, location, do you guys do that central location at the corporate headquarters? Do you do it at a retreat center? What do you do?
Well, if we hit a certain occupancy, we're going to do it at Disney World.
Oh, watch out. I'm headed there tomorrow. Oh, wow.
So, okay. But we haven't hit that occupancy, so we do it in Kansas City.
And this is the marketing guy talking, so what are we waiting on? Let's go.
I know, 95%. We're waiting right. for that day. No, we do it in Kansas City, so that gives our opportunity for our people at Branch Support, which we call our corporate office. They have the ability to engage, and they are just as an active participant in these interactions of vulnerability, of leadership development, and it gives them a real good connection and relationship with our field, so that we remember at Kansas City, our Branch Support, that we're here to serve the branches. They are not here to serve us.
One of the coolest things that comes out of the family reunion is you have, as Andy indicated, these people many times they're complete strangers. You know, they work for us, but some of them have been recently hired. Maybe they're Branch Support, and they walk away and they keep that connection going after the family reunion. We have you know, individuals that we call our corporate office Branch Support. We have individuals at Branch Support that continue to stay in regular non-business conversations with directors, with nurses in our locations, because of the vulnerability that takes place in the community that takes place within that family reunion. And that community continues to grow and it continues to expand even after the family reunion ends.
This is fascinating. Lucas, I love this. You know, it is a beautiful experience to be able to be in a room full of what a lot of people would consider competitors, right?
Yeah.
And you guys were up there with a host of other people that have huge growing organizations, and you're just sharing the nitty-gritty of what you do and your secret recipe and your secret sauce that makes Bickford tick. And so we so appreciate your honesty, your transparency. That's the kind of stuff that we, when we started Bridge the Gap, we wanted to be able to have a platform that just communicates that, because it adds value to the whole industry and raises everyone's boat. So we appreciate you being on our show today and taking time away from this really exciting event we're at today.
Yes, the energy is still high. And Andy and Alan, you guys are awesome. Andy, you're a big dude, man. And yeah. I've heard through the grapevine, because you're talking a lot of touchy-feely stuff with love and marketing and sharing and hand-holding. But I hear that you were a pro football player.
Whoa, watch out.
Yeah, so I was excited about Coach Holtz being here today, given his pep talk, because he actually, my offensive line coach, played at Green Bay and the St. Louis Rams. He got my Green Bay offensive lineman coach. He taught him how to be an offensive line coach. And so we had a good connection and a great share. But it, you know, interesting story is I actually chose to, after my third year in the NFL, I actually chose to leave the NFL, not out of the NFL left me, but because I wanted to pursue more meaning in my life. And it was the best decision I ever made. When I made it, a lot of people said I would regret that. But this industry gives us, has given me, and our business has given me such a great platform to live what I believe to be my purpose. And I'm very grateful for this.
That's so cool, man. Yeah.
And I believe you. It's very believable. And this is the love stories that we continue to talk about. And we're so grateful to you guys. You gentlemen, it's going to be, and the fun doesn't end after we put the mics down, because we got more events tonight. So we'll make sure that we connect with you guys on social media, because our audience is going to want to know more about this secret sauce and all these details that we're talking about. We'll connect with Bickford in the show notes. And you can connect with us. Anybody that's on LinkedIn, message us. You can go to btgvoice.com. And thank you for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
The podcast team wants to hear from you. If you're on Instagram, let us know your takeaways. Take a screenshot of the show you just listened to, tag BTG Voice, and we might just share your thoughts. Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap.